The first reading is from Romans 4, verses 13 to 25. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing, and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification.
The second reading is from Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 to 13 and verses 18 to 26. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this point, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." Then the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to man. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her, and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. This girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region.
Beyond hope. Wow, a daunting thought. It means a situation or person that is so severely damaged, broken, or so far gone, there is no realistic possibility of repair, improvement, or rescue. And in our Bible readings today, they're jam-packed full of people and situations that, at first, appear to be beyond hope. In his letter to the Romans, Paul reminds us of the story of Abraham and Sarah, both increasingly elderly and physically beyond any hope of ever having a child. And in the space of 22 verses, Matthew tells us about four people. First of all, there was the paralyzed man brought to Jesus by his friends. Now, we don't know whether he was paralyzed from birth or whether it was from something that happened later. But in those days, the belief was that any sickness or disability was caused by a person's sin and could only be cured if their sins had been forgiven by God. Now, that man would not only have believed that he was a sinner, but the longer he remained paralyzed, the likelihood of him being forgiven by God was moving further and further beyond hope. And then we heard about the calling of Matthew, the tax collector. Now, often in the Bible, tax collectors seem to be lumped together in the same sentence as sinners. And as we heard, Jesus went and ate with tax collectors and sinners. And many were. They had a reputation of being in cahoots with the Romans and for being dishonest. And they were hated by people within their own community. In other stories that we know, Zacchaeus and the tax collector praying in the temple, asking for mercy, they are generally portrayed as beyond hope, stuck in a sinful, miserable, and probably lonely way of life. And finally, there are two interwoven situations where the people involved have reached desperation point. What most people would have seen as situations that were beyond hope. The synagogue leader in Mark's gospel is named as Jairus. Greeks stricken by the death of his daughter. The woman, blighted by bleeding for 12 years, labeled as unclean and shunned by her family and friends, let down by doctors. But in all of these situations, which appear to be beyond hope, God transformed each one through their faith, their willingness to step out of their comfort zone, and through God's grace and love. So let's first consider the story of Abraham and Sarah. Although God promised Abraham he would be a father of many nations, he and his wife must have felt a sense of hopelessness, given their age, particularly regarding Sarah's biological clock. However, Abraham stepped out in faith, out of his home, his comfort zone, and with Sarah embarked on a journey because he believed that God would fulfill his promise, even if he didn't know how. As Paul reflects, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Abraham and Sarah became parents of Isaac through faith and the grace of God, transforming their lives and future generations of God's people. And the paralyzed man, believing himself to be an unforgiven sinner, was brought to Jesus by his friends. They believed that Jesus could help him. Jesus saw that faith in them. Controversially, he told the man that his sins were forgiven, which led to accusations of blasphemy. But as it was believed that this had to happen before a sickness could be cured, and the fact that the man was able to get up and walk, that proved to those watching that the man's sins had been forgiven by God. The man's life was transformed, and he would have had to literally step out of his comfort zone, out of the way of life he had potentially known for a long time, and learn a new way. But I'm sure he would have had the support of those faithful friends. And Matthew turned his life around when he heard two words, "Follow me." They sound so simple, yet they were completely transformational to those who answered that call. We hear that Matthew dropped everything and followed Jesus on the spot. That was a huge leap of faith out of his comfort zone and into an unknown and unexpected future. We don't get details of Matthew's thoughts or feelings, but I would suggest that he must have felt God's grace and forgiveness in that moment. Jairus and the woman who both stepped out to seek help from Jesus. As a synagogue leader and critic of Jesus, Jairus must have been desperate, especially to meet Jesus in public. But he demonstrated his faith that Jesus could help by saying, "Come and put your hand on her, and she will live." The woman, again, would have to have had to step out into a public place when she was seen as unclean. She believed that she just needed to touch Jesus' cloak and she would be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. In Mark's gospel, he describes Jesus feeling power leave him. And he responds by telling her that her faith had healed her. She had been healed by God's grace. Now, although these situations and people may have been viewed as beyond hope, each one showed that with a willingness to step out in faith, however small that faith may have been, nothing was beyond hope with Jesus. Now, earlier we thought about signs of hope that we've witnessed or heard about in our community, our country, and our world. We are able to read about people in the Bible who were transformed through their faith, even when their situation seemed beyond hope. We may also have our own experiences or know of others who have been transformed, healed, or restored from a situation that, without faith in Jesus and the knowledge of God's forgiving grace, may have felt without hope. If we trust in Jesus and his love for us, no situation is beyond hope. Now, this can be difficult to comprehend or believe in our world today, which can seem full of evil. I'm reminded of the Greek myth about Pandora's box. In her curiosity, Pandora opens the box that she's told never to open, letting out all the bad things such as misery, pain, disease, hatred. And she slams the box shut, but then heard a small fluttering inside. And as she peered into the box, she noticed one thing left: hope, which was then released into the world. And as Christians, I believe that we can grasp onto something that is even stronger than hope. Our faith in Christ is that something. He is our foundation, our cornerstone, our rock. We may have to step out of our comfort zones to meet Christ in difficult circumstances, but he is always there with us. But what about those who don't have faith, who see themselves as beyond hope? How might we live as witnesses to those people? It is for us, as individuals and as a church, to welcome all, to care for all, to bring comfort to all, and most importantly, to share the good news of Jesus and our own experiences in order that more people may find the faith to take that step out of their comfort zone, to ask Jesus for help, so that they may be transformed, healed, and restored by God's grace and forgiveness, to come to believe that nothing is beyond hope. Amen.